I'm excited about tonight as well as I have been every week. It's really been cool for me. I shared a couple of weeks ago that when I get quiet and I think about this stuff, and just sometimes this stuff just pops in my head. The Spirit just talks to me, and I go write it down. And then when I start putting it together, I'm just so excited about how it just flows here. I hope you get something out of it, because if you don't, well, I'm sorry, because I am. But anyway, we had a great time on our ski trip. Everybody that's on Facebook got to see a few pictures. We went to the mountaintop, right? We went to the mountaintop, and we had a really good time. I'm telling you, I told them, and I put a post out there. I told Kitty on the phone several times that it was almost like a retreat rather than just a ski trip. I'm telling you, we had church Sunday morning, pretty much, you know, all four of us down there talking, even to the point of, I'm a stickler for being on time, and the lifts opened at 8:30, and we were still talking about 10 after 8. And somebody said, are we going skiing? Yeah, we are. But we had a wonderful time, and I appreciate all the prayers and all that you lifted up for us. We had a really good trip. Just like any trip, things go wrong from time to time. Things happen, what I liked about it is we just rolled with it, whatever it was. Even to the point of, we got back here to Atlanta, and we were so excited about getting home that we pulled away from the curve, and we got all the way to Griffin when Delta Airlines called and said, you guys left two bags sitting on the curve. Yeah, I helped load the car, and all my bags got in, I'll tell you that. So. But anyway, we worked it out. We got it all done. We picked up Lindsay on the way back, and it made it work. We had a good time. All right. Tonight, I'm going to just give a little bit of a quick review of a little bit of the things that we taught last week. The thing that we're talking about here is relationships, money, our finances, and your health. And what I want to try to start stressing a little bit for you tonight is they're all wound together. They're all wound together. If you have money issues, it'll affect your health, and it'll affect your relationships. If you have relationship issues, it'll affect your health, and it'll affect your finances. It all goes around, all around. If you're having health issues, it'll affect your finances, and it'll affect your relationship. So they're all wound together, but I want to cover just a few things, go over a couple things, and introduce something else new from a relationship perspective, and then we'll get into the next piece. But tonight I want to remind you, the scripture verse we used last week is Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I used that verse, I used it in the sense of for us not to make excuses in our relationship. If you remember, I told you, don't say the word can't. Remember the phrase, can't never could. But don't say can't, because you have access to it all. Scripture tells us right there, all things, every bit of it. There's no limitations. So we have the ability to do that. Kitty came up and she talked about the five love languages, and I'll say it again. This week, if you've never read that book, you need to go get it. And we have a couple extra copies. We didn't bring them tonight, but we'll get them to you if you want them. They're yours if you want them. But I'm telling you, you need to read that book. It's basic, and it just covers everything. Two of the things that I tried to introduce last week, one was, what's the altitude of your attitude? Because that's what matters most, is how you look at things, how you view things. Where are you? If you're down low, if you're down in the grass, then you're going to have trouble. But if you're flying like an eagle, and it's all great. Or if you're like up on top of the mountain, right? That was a good altitude. It's a great place to be. The other thing I said is, you'll find whatever you're looking for. So that when you come home in the afternoons, don't look for what's wrong. Don't look for what's wrong. Look for what's right. Always make that your first focus. I shared some of the things to do, and I tell you, I don't leave the house that when I come in, I kiss Kitty every time. Sometimes she runs me off, because if I can go get the mail and come back in, I go kiss her. But make sure you do that kind of thing. But what are you looking for when you come home? What are you looking for? Whatever you're looking for is what you're going to find. So I reminded you last week that don't look for the things that are not right. To continue on a little bit about relationships tonight, I have a couple of things that I'm gonna go to the negative side for just a second in this aspect. I told you last week that coaching is all about teaching what to do, not to focus on what not to do. And that's the same thing with life coaching and everything else. We can't focus on what is being done wrong. We forget that. We just try to teach what to do right, okay, and make that your focus. But I do. There's a couple of things that I feel like I really need to share on the what not to do's, okay? And they're real short and sweet, and you let them talk to you the way that they talk to you, okay? Number one is be cautious where you go. Be cautious where you go. These three are going to go together. Be cautious what you see, and be cautious what you say. You see, there are all kinds of people out here in this world that would like to pull you down with them, okay? And there's a lot of people in this world who live on that low altitude that would just as soon you come down and live with them rather than they come up and live with you. And I'm not saying they're bad people, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. It happens. People that we see every day, friends that we may have at work, people that we may run into. Just be cautious where you go, be cautious what you see, and be cautious what you say. All the way through. That's simple, okay? That goes along with the principle that we introduced a couple weeks ago of paying attention. Because if you're not careful, you get in a situation that you don't want to be in. Pay attention. The next one is this. This is common sense, but so many people break it, and it can destroy a relationship, period. Never, ever discuss your issues with your mate, with anybody of the opposite sex, ever. Ever. Because when you do, that opens a door. That's the opportunity. And here's what you may or may not know. I hope you all know this, but there are people out there waiting for an opportunity. They are. Don't complain about your husband or your wife. I'm going to tell you, don't do it to anybody outside. If you got a problem, talk to them about it. But don't take it outside. And especially, do not talk about issues with your marriage with anybody from the opposite sex. It's a killer. It's a killer. Because what happens is, two people who may not even have intentions start having compassion for one another. Because they will share with you when you share with them. And then the next thing that happens is you go where you didn't want to go. And then that goes back to a lot of the fundamentals that we talked about last week. So never, ever discuss those issues. Some of the things we talked about last week, here's a huge mistake that some people make. Because we went over a lot of fundamental things to do. Don't wait on your mate to do it first. Huge mistake. See, some people look at it as competition, so to speak, or as a game we'll play. And they'll say, when you start, I'll start. And I'll tell you, if you have that attitude, probably won't ever leave the station. Train's going to sit there. See, this is the part about paying attention and being responsible. What you need to do is you be the one to initiate whatever you want, of doing it positively, of doing the things we talked about last week. So don't wait on your mate to start. Do not do that. If you want to make it a competition to see who can do more for the other. You can do that. That's okay. But don't wait on your mate to start. Now, I'm going to slip into the next area right here, but we will talk about relationships more probably tonight and then next week and the following week. But tonight, where we're going to go is where everybody wants to know, show me the money. We're going to talk about money, okay? But it's probably not going to be what you think. I'll tell you this. I thought about it. Ken and David kept me pretty busy last weekend, so I didn't prepare as much as I'd like to, but they made me go out on that mountain and ski, and I did. But I did get up early a couple of times, and I did start working on some of this, and I'll tell you, I started to having a feeling on Saturday or Sunday that I didn't tell them, but I did tell Kitty when I got home. My feeling was this, that especially this piece here, the money issue, was that I can't possibly cover what I need to cover tonight. It's going to go over the next week, but I was thinking I can't even do it then. Now, see, that goes back to the first week and the things that Ralph has taught us. See, that's a negative thought, but I latched on to it, and I started worrying about it. And after I talked to Kitty, I'm going to tell you what Spirit whispered to me. Because I really had that in my mind. I was thinking, what do I cover during this time period that's really going to matter? And I was kind of feeling this little panic again. But here's what Spirit said to me. You don't have to. You don't have to cover it all. And it was as real as if somebody's saying it to me. It just said, relax. You don't have to cover it all. That's your idea. That's not mine. That's what I felt like the Spirit was telling me. That was you. You don't have to. And it said, the Spirit said to me, you don't have to. It said, what I need you to do is plant seeds. That's all. Just plant seeds. And I'll take care of the rest. So it was a really good moment for me to kind of get that release. Because, see, I was letting that negative thinking come on me of thinking I'm not going to be able to do what I had intended to do here. But now I know I am. The goal of this lesson tonight is not, this is why I said it may not be what you think it's going to be, but it is not to show you how to become rich or wealthy. I'm sorry. However, that can be the results of some of this stuff, but that's not what the goal is. Now, I'm going to challenge you now about money. If that's your goal, wherever you are in your financial world, if your goal is to be rich, you need to ask yourself the question, it's very simple, three-letter word, why? Why? All right? Because, I mean, in reality now, I mean, come on, don't we all want to be rich? Huh? We do. We think about it, don't we? See, I think we have a lot of things confused in our mind as what rich really is. We do. You know, we see people who are ridiculously rich. If that's the right way to say that. That's just crazy rich. You know, you just see things that you think like, how? You know, all you got to do is look in the sports world, the entertainment world. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And don't we think sometimes, man, if I had that, that would do it. I'd be set. Everything's good. Now, what we already know is those people have the same problems that we have. That the money's not really the issue. And we're going to get into that tonight and next week. See, the real goal for tonight is to raise us up to another level and to keep climbing. What I want to do is, what I learned when I was coaching baseball to little kids is this. See, I could coach everybody as a team and just hope they all get it, or I could try to make sure each individual understood what I was doing. And that's what I want to do here tonight for you. And so what I want to offer you is what we talk about. If you have any questions, please come see me. My cards are out there that's got my email on there and my phone number, and do it. All right? Now, I do go to bed about 9:30, but after but really, feel free to do that, because, see, part of what coaching is understanding that if each of us individuals get it, we become so much stronger. So much stronger. So we all have to get it. It'll take us to another level, and it'll make your family better. It'll make your church better, your social group better, your community better, your whole world better by understanding some of the principles we're going to talk about. I said it a minute ago, you can become wealthy by following biblical principles, but what we've got to understand is that it may not be the wealthy that we envision that I just described a while ago. I'm gonna tell you something that you may not already know, but Kitty and I are very wealthy. Let me have a chuckle. Come on. All right. Kitty and I are very wealthy. Now, with the laugh, I'm telling you, we really are. Because, see, what I have learned about money is this. Wealth is not a number. It's not a number. The reason I'm going to tell you Kitty and I are wealthy, because we got way more than we need. Okay? We've got way more than we need. We've got good stuff, and we use our stuff, but we could get by with a whole lot less. Okay? Most of you are the same way. So when you wake up in the mornings and you go to work to make the dollar, make the donuts, to bring it all in and everything, if you'll approach this every day with that understanding that you're already wealthy, it changes everything. Changes everything. Think, it's part of what we talked about in the first 2 weeks about changing the way you think. Because I base that belief for Kitty and I just on that I told you. We have way more than we need. And most of you do too. But you know, there are times that I go somewhere and I may think that I'm poor or say that I'm poor. I may say I may not be able to do something. I might say I can't afford it. I might take on an attitude of, man, that's a bummer, you know, can't afford it. The thing is understanding about how to say those words and what they actually mean, okay? Because I use it sometimes when I can't afford it, but I choose not to. I choose not to spend it. And that's one of the secrets about having anything and keeping anything is I keep that in check and in control. All right, what we're going to focus on tonight in money, we're going to focus on basically two parts. And before we get into the first two fundamentals that I want to cover tonight, I want us to understand this. Once you have any money, there are only four things that you can do with it, period. Now, somebody might think of something else, but I'm going to tell you, it's thrown out. I'm the judge. There's four things that you can do. You can save it, you can spend it, you can lose it, and you can give it away. That's it. I thought long and hard about this, okay? All right? Save it, spend it, lose it, or give it away. Something has to happen to it, though. Okay? Something has to happen to it. You're in control. The two parts that we're going to focus on tonight are complete opposites. They're the two foundations that I believe in understanding how to handle money and how it works. Okay? If you can grasp these two fundamental pieces, apply it to your financial world, it'll change everything for you. So we're going to talk more on what I believe the way God intends for us to handle money. When I was thinking about how I'm not sure how I'm going to do this, this is one of those things I was talking about earlier where Spirit dropped something in my spirit, and it was a riddle. And I couldn't get it typed fast enough when it came to me. And it may not be funny to you, but man, it drove it home to me right there. So what Spirit told me last night was that this little riddle will help us remember these two principles. One of these fundamentals of money is a negative, even though it appears to be an addition. On the surface, it appears to be an addition, but it's a negative. The other is a positive, even though it seems to be a subtraction. We're going to start with a negative, and we're going to start with a negative for a couple of reasons. But the main reason, I told you last week, or the week before, rather, about how I understood when I coached baseball and I was pitching batting practice to those little boys that I made sure the last ball they hit was a rocket, was a line drive. I didn't want the last ball they hit to be a dribbler or a foul ball. I wanted the picture in their mind for the last swing that they took that they hit a rope. That's what I wanted them to remember and hold on to. So what I want to do with you is, and we're going to start tonight on the negative side so that we finish on the positive side, okay? Now, coaching baseball, one of the funnest things that I liked about coaching baseball was teaching kids about signals. Everybody know about signals, the guy in the third base side, okay? Oh, man, you can make it as complicated as you want to. You know, the coach stands over there doing all this, and dealing with him, telling the kid what to do. And it's really funny because, you know, with little kids, they like that. I mean, we would take almost a half of practice going over signals. And I'll tell you a secret, if you don't know it, a lot of coaches, when you give a signal, you have something as simple that says, I want you to steal a base as I'm going to rub my left arm, okay? But the secret to that is I'm going to give them an indicator that says, I can rub my left arm and it doesn't mean steal unless I rub my ear first. That's the indicator. And then if I go there, it's time to steal. That's what I said. You make it as complicated as you can. So coaches have all kinds of signs. It's signals to the other person, something that can go without being said, but it's delivering a message to them. One of the most important signs in a baseball game for a third base coach is a stop sign. Hold your hands up. Stop. Don't come to third base or wherever you are. That's a stop sign. And we would practice this with the kids, and I'd have them come around second, And what I would try to teach them to do is when you get second base, you are giving it all you got until you see the stop sign. And when you see it, you go back. And they would run, and I'd get them come halfway to third, and I'd say, go back, go back, go back, and get them to slam on brakes. And what I was doing is getting them, getting their muscles built up, getting their running, but I was also getting them to listen to me for what I was trying to tell them. So I'd throw up a stop sign. Hold on to that thought. So everybody knows that the indicator's here, and this is stop, okay? Everybody got that? Got it. Okay. One of the fundamental principles that we discovered in the first 2 weeks is to pay attention and be responsible. Now, everything in this world operates on balance. Everything. God made this world to balance. We're not spinning off going anywhere on this earth, because all that it's doing creates the gravity, creates the balance, and we're all here, okay? But everything operates on balance. He created our mind and our body and our soul in this fashion. And when we're out of balance, it brings consequences. We're talking about money, okay? When we're out of balance, creates consequences. When we're out of balance is when we spend more than we earn. And the only way to get out of balance in that manner is the ugly word, debt. Debt. This is the piece that seems like a positive, but it turns out to be the subtraction, because it seems so easy, doesn't it, to pull it out. I happen to have a few. I got a couple. See, this is a credit card. What we get fooled so many times is this is not money. Okay? It's not money. But we like to treat it like it is. So the debt is an area that really sends us in a tizzy. Now, I'm going to stop here and tell you, now I understand all debt is not bad, but most of it is. And any debt that you're in, your goal should be to always get out of it, no matter what it is, okay? And I'm not going to be too specific on that, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. When the credit card comes out, here's what I want you to envision, because I'm a visuals type person. Stop. Okay? See, we have grown up in this society to where it is the norm. It's the thing to do. I'll give you a quick story. When I went to work for Delta in 1979, I had a gentleman tell me, an older gentleman, he said, son, what you need to do is go down to the credit union and borrow $1,000. Okay? Now, here was his reasoning. He said, have you ever heard the story of owe your soul to the company store? It was a Delta Credit Union. This was his philosophy. If you owe them money, no matter what you do, they'll never fire you because they owe you money. Now, that's what he thought. Isn't that funny? He said, you need to borrow money from the credit union because if you ever get any trouble. And I'm just a 20-year-old kid, you know, listening to all this, but I knew better, even at that time. But see how our minds twist this stuff around? We can make excuses for any of it if we want to. We can always make excuses for any of it. So the biggest reason that we go in debt is this. We compare ourselves to others. It's the biggest reason we go into debt. We measure our worth and our importance against what other people have, don't we? No matter where you've been. If you're in a big house now, you lived in a smaller house at one time. And you may have needed a bigger house, don't get me wrong. But see, so often we look at what other people have and we want what they've got, because we don't want to look like we're less than, do we? We go and buy stuff, most of the time stuff that we don't need, and it's not going to last a long time. We pay a lot of money for it. We put it on credit because we want to impress somebody or because we want to keep up with somebody for those reasons. Now, I understand some people they get in a tizzy and they wind up having to use credit, or they think they do to make things float. But for the most part, we get into trouble with debt when we view our importance based on what somebody else has got. In James chapter 3, verse 16, here's the verse. And listen to this. For wherever you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. See, what that does to you is it brings disorder. Remember what I talked about last week about the lake and the rocks throwing it in? See, what debt does to us is it's constantly throwing rocks into the water. It's disturbing your peace. Because most people that do it, they go out and do it, and they think in their head, when somebody tells them the payment's only $10 a month, or it's only $50 a month, whatever it is. And that doesn't sound bad. I can get a 60-inch TV and pay $50 a month? Sign me up for that. That's easy, right? But what happens is they're going to make a whole lot of money off of that $50 a month because of the way it works. I'll give you a quick story that I read in one of the books that Kenny and I have recently read, and it was really eye-opening for me. They did a scientific experiment in the easiest way. They did it with a lot of little kids, had a room with about 10 kids in there. Somebody comes in and brings out, all of them get a bowl of ice cream, and they pass out the ice cream. Now, as you might imagine, all these kids are pretty happy. They're all looking around. Everything's good. But then somebody walks in another door and walks over to one side of the room and puts chocolate on top of a couple of bowls and some sprinkles. Now what happens? That's right. The ones that have just the plain ice cream look, and all of a sudden, life's not fair. Why did they get that? Why can't I have that? What does it take for me to get that? And on you could go. And it was a great experiment, and it really kind of opened my eyes because I knew some of this stuff, but if you think about that example of how we are in society, that we look at somebody else has got sprinkles. Somebody got a new car. I need a new car. Has nothing to do with the car that you got. It's perfectly fine, see? But that's how our mind works if we're not careful. If we're not paying attention and we're not being responsible, we look around us and we say, that's what I need. Why do you need it? Because they got it. It works just that way. No matter what it is, it could be a lot of different things. But it was a great example of how we look around at what somebody else has got and it changes. Because here's a real big part of that story. Before they introduced the chocolate and the sprinkles, everybody was content. Everybody was happy. I'm happy that you got ice cream. I got ice cream. We're all happy. See, when you introduce something that's just a little bit more for somebody else, we feel offended. We feel that it's not fair. Those kind of things. And that's where you have to be careful and have to pay real close attention to your mindset of what drives you. What drives you? Debt is a trap that's hard to escape. The whole idea of debt is to keep you there. They don't want you to pay it off. Matter of fact, they will refinance for you and lower your payment. And life is good. See, the catch is, though, that you got 10 more years. But let's don't talk about that. What we're trying to do is just get you somewhere and make you happy. And that's the way it works. Bill Hybel is the author of the book Simplified, and it is another one of those really good books. And he wrote something that really made me step back and look at it. It's a strong statement, but I believe it. It's true. I want to share it with you. In his book Simplify, where he talks about finances, he says this: the definition of debt is wanting more than God's current provision for your life and arranging another way to get it. That's kind of strong, isn't it? That's strong, but it's exactly right. It's exactly right. You think about it. We pray for God, to bless us with something that we might necessarily want, it doesn't happen in a couple weeks, well, me and Visa will go get it. And we'll say, thank you, God. Now I'm going to ask that you'll give me the payment I need to have to make on this. Isn't that how we operate? It is. Exactly. That's a strong statement. I want to read it to you again. The definition of debt is wanting more than God's current provision for your life and you arranging for another way to get it. We're not patient. I just wonder, when I read that statement going through the book, I wonder how often that we may have prayed for something and God had intended to bless us with it, but we decided to go out in front of him. We go out in front. We take over. I got it, God. I got it. Thank you for it. Thank you. Wanting more than God's current provision for your life and arranging other ways to get it. Let that sink in. See, we're going to talk about a couple of other things here, but that's the line I want everybody to remember right there from tonight as far as the debt piece goes. That's the line right there. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. All right? And God wants you to have stuff, by the way. Okay? But, see, this goes back to the piece of we create our world. When we get out in front of God, we create a mess for us and for our family, whoever else is involved. We do that. I looked through it, and I did some searching on the computer and different places, and not one time in God's word did I ever find anywhere that he advised us that we should go into debt, that we should borrow money. It's not there. Ever. It's not there. He actually warns against it. And I do want to say this. Being in debt is not a sin. And not in my book. It's not a sin. It's a mistake. And it troubles your waters. And it creates chaos for you. But it's not a sin. So we can choose to live that way. But if you do, what you're doing is going out and creating the chaos for yourself. Okay? Now, we're not going to get into it this week, but next week we're going to talk about ways to avoid it altogether, or that if you're there, how to get out of it, okay? Because, see, there are consequences to everything that we do. The consequences of being out of balance, just like I said earlier. And, by the way, I'm not just talking about something I've read about because I've lived it before. I've lived it that way, and I've lived it a different way, and the different way is so much better. So much easier. I learned my lesson. See, some people have a hard time. They don't learn the lesson. They just keep repeating it over and over again. You know, there's even philosophies out there that when you max a credit card out, you go get another credit card to try to help, you know, going back and forth creates a mess. It doesn't work. Okay? Bad things happen, and it is a negative, and we create it. Now, we may blame our situation or circumstances on someone or something. Maybe we lost our job. Maybe, you know, anything you could come up with. But it goes back to what I said earlier. Look, we can make excuses for anything. But when it's all said and done, it still comes down to this one piece. You decide. You decide what you're going to do. Because there are other ways. The way to avoid this kind of trap is don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie that what somebody else has that you don't have makes you less than. See, that's a lie. Don't believe the lie that somebody else has more than you, that they're more than. That's a lie. All the way around. Don't believe the lie. Be responsible and pay attention. One of the things I talked about in the first week was about defining you. And I said, you define you. See, don't let the situations out there that I'm describing there with other people and what they might have or what you have or don't have define you. You define you. You define you. You decide. It goes back to the fundamental from the first week of how you should think about yourself. Because what you got really doesn't amount to anything. The only thing that amounts to anything is what's in your heart. That's where the value is, okay? Don't let your happiness and contentment come from what you see that others have. The first week we talked about being grateful. The other way to fight that is to learn to be grateful and content with what you have. I'm going to tell you, when we can latch on to that, being grateful and content, it changes your whole world. Because you can actually look at stuff that other people have and you can just be glad they got it. And it'll have no effect on you of wishing I had it. You're glad that they've got it. And it'll grow. Now, it's enough of the negative side for tonight. We'll talk about the debt thing a little bit more next week, but now we're going to move to the positive side. Everybody happy with that? Me too. All right. The second part, excuse me, of the riddle that was placed in my spirit was that it appears to be a negative because it subtracts, but the truth is it adds. This is the positive side. Now, one of the other signs from a third base coach that you always like to do after the stop sign is go, 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 run. This is the side that I want to have that sign for you, the positive side. I want you to go, go. The first fundamental that we learned was allow your spirit of gratefulness and giving to be developed in you, because here's the thing, giving is the catalyst of your attitude about money. If you're a giver, you're a happy person. You're a happy person. If you're not a giver, you got to examine your spirit, because inside your spirit somewhere says to you that I can't let go of what I got. See, that's the part of Peter stepping out of the boat, learning to give. And by giving, what you will find is the part of this riddle here is it actually adds. So you can't outgive God. You can't. And here's what I know. Kitty's going to come in just a second. She's going to share a quick testimony on giving. And I'm not going to steal her thunder, but I do know that the giving piece, the more you give, the more it comes back to you. And we'll talk about the attitude for that. But Kitty's going to come and share with us a quick testimony about giving. And I'm going to get her a microphone. Oh. See how quick that was?
I thought he was going to say everything that I was going to say there for a minute. This really is just going to be a quick testimony tonight. The last 2 weeks I've shared steps and so on and so forth. And when Joey first started talking about that he'd be talking about finances tonight, I was like, oh, just give me whatever. I love to talk about finances. And I thought he was going to give me budget. Or I talked with a couple of friends the other night, and I said, tell me your keys. You know, what has made your financial life healthy in your household? And so on and so forth. Then when he came home from his trip Monday night, he said, I just want you to talk about giving. And I said, well, that's great, because giving is such a passionate subject with me. I was very blessed, and I'll try to do this without being emotional or looking at my parents, but I grew up in a home where my parents gave all the time. And I'm not just talking about financially. They did. They blessed people all the time, and probably in many ways that I don't even know of, but I do know of a lot of ways. But they gave of themselves. My dad worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week when I grew up. He was at church on Sunday morning, teaching Sunday school. He was back at church on Sunday night. He was there on Wednesday night, participating in the choir, helping with the kids. My mom, it was just hysterical. Julie and I used to laugh about it. She would be checking out at the grocery store, and she would go to hand her money to the checkout person, and they would just start spilling what was happening in their lives. They might not even know her, but they immediately picked up on that gift of giving that was inside of her, and that gift of encouragement. And so I grew up seeing this example, and I wanted that. I wanted to have the gift of giving. And so from the time I was a little girl, I saw that, and I wanted to be that person. And when I was 19 years old, the late Pastor Thurman Fountain preached a sermon that made a tremendous impression on me. And I'm just going to share something. Joey said to bring it because he said visuals are good. I'm going to let him hold it up. I made this for Pastor Fountain after he preached this sermon. And it's Luke 6:38, and it says, "Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return." And will you hold it up for just a minute, sweetie? When he spoke, if any of you ever got to hear him speak, he basically would teach in his preaching. And he did a lot of research as far as Greek word studies and so on and so forth. And I never researched it for myself, but I just remember him when he talked about that. He said, "For whatever measure you deal out to others, it was directly related to your need." Because a lot of times you just hear, "Give money, you get money. Give time, you get time." That was not the way he preached it. He preached that you give what God's speaking to you to give. And he knows what you need, and he will give that to you. You can fill that up. And so, you know, what Joey's been saying, and what Pastor Buren's been preaching, and what Ralph's preached, and many different people around here have shared, is about developing that sense of gratefulness. And I believe that when you develop that sense of gratefulness, when you exercise that discipline of gratefulness and looking for the ways that God's blessed you, that helps you develop the gift of giving. And you know, Joey was talking about the last couple of weeks about cultivating a quiet spirit and about just sitting before God and listening to him. And you know, he will show you the way to give. And a lot of people will say, "Well, I don't have a lot of money," but you have gifts to offer. For those of us that are on Facebook, I know that we have a lot of people in our church and our community that have really taken up, you know, encouraging people. And it's so fun. And I wrote down some different things that people say, but I don't necessarily need to read that. It's different styles. Like Joey will write kind of these encouraging coach type words, and Barbara Goss will put quotes from many different famous people. And that speaks to me. And then you've got Lynn Chambers, who will put up scriptures. And, you know, it'll just, like, really speak to you that day. And then you got Jason Torres that'll just put something out there. And you can just see Jason all excited and saying, you know, what's on his heart. But in that same way that they all encourage us with their different styles, you know, their uniqueness. They're all unique people, and they express themselves that way. God will allow you to give to other people. But it's a matter of being quiet and listening to his voice. As far as I'm concerned, giving is the key to everything. And Pastor Buren's been talking about showing love to other people in little ways, and I believe that that's what God does through giving. And it's also an excellent tool for winning the lost, like you were saying on Sunday, to be salt, to be light, to be good. It's just a matter of being quiet before him and saying, "God, you know, who do you want me to reach today?" I know Ralph shared one time that sometimes he'll just go to the grocery store and give carts out to people and smile at them. And so often we underestimate that gift of just a smile. When you're in the grocery store, you don't have to know the person. Just smile. You never know how that's going to reach somebody. And so I think that in giving, Joey and I have been blessed to be able to give in all kinds of ways. And it's so, so exciting, because it's just the more you listen to God's voice, the more you're going to hear his voice. But it is being quiet before him and saying, "God, what do you have me to give?"
Okay. Thank you, Kitty. So the positive side of this, the negative is the debt, the positive side is the giving. First of all, you have to change your mindset and understand this, and this is hard for us to do sometimes. It's not ours to begin with. It's not ours to begin with. That's why we should be so willing to give, is because it's not ours. You need to be, as Kitty just said, of having your mindset in the realm that you listen to God and listen to the Spirit to tell you. I have opportunities sometimes for me that I have felt Spirit just tell me I need to give X amount of dollars to somebody. It's specific. And then I have had opportunities where I felt like Spirit just said, just give them a gift. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand about giving too, and so that we understand that we're here and we try to make decisions, we try to do things. Let me tell you, I have missed opportunities. I've missed opportunities. I shared with Ralph when I was meeting with him how one time that, this was probably 20 years ago, but I was in the grocery store and the lady in front of me didn't have enough money to buy all her groceries. They were having to take stuff out and put back. And I stood there, and here I am, a deacon, a Christian, and I watched that take place. And I hesitated at times to step, but I stepped there and I let that take place. And she left, and her groceries were still there, something of what she had, and she went out the door. And I went out the door, and I had an opportunity to go catch her. I didn't do it. That just rode on me for days and days and days. I had another opportunity where I had somebody at a gas station. You know, you've all been at a gas station before. You can see people that are coming up fixing to ask you for something, can't you? You ever look away? I looked away. But this person was persistent. He came around to where I was. All right? And he was looking for something. But I still had the opportunity, and I gave the guy $5. And I'm on my way home. And inside my spirit said, "Really? $5? That's what you gave him? That's what you did? $5. Do you have any more money in your pocket?" Of course I do. But see, for some unknown reason right then, I held God back because I made a decision that said, "That's mine. That's mine." See, that goes back to what I just said, that when what I have learned through those things, and by the way, those are opportunities in my life where I know I missed it, and I'm going to tell you this, now God's not mad at me for it. He's not mad at me for it. See, all of it's his anyway, and he has ways of blessing those people. What God is, though, he was giving me an opportunity to be God in front of them, okay? And what I did was I chose not to do it. So he's not mad at me about it, but he whispered to me about it, all right? Now, I may still miss another opportunity, but I probably won't, okay? Because what goes back to the other is I pay attention more. Because, see, my God came to me, and he didn't look at me like I shared with you last week about how I used to see God as my dad, a stern man's man, and say, "Boy, why didn't you do such and such?" My God put his arm around me and said, "Son, I'm going to bless you, and I want you to bless people as they come into your life." Okay? It's just that simple. He's not mad. He's not mad at all. But it was a lesson for me. See, so it develops a spirit within me that I learned from those scenarios that have taken place that says to me, don't pass it up. Now, I could share sometimes when I have done so, but that's not important. All right? You've had opportunities too, right? Am I the only one in here who's missed an opportunity, by the way? No? We all have. And you have to ask yourself, why did I miss it? Why did I miss it? It's part of learning the lessons and growing and getting to that next level of understanding what giving is all about. Every time that happens, see, you know what it did to me? See, it's like you have those two choices. I could even beat myself up over those. Or I can choose to go in the other direction, the positive that says, I won't miss that again. And when it happens, see what happened? It raised me up to a higher level of consciousness of being a giver. Okay? So everything is just a lesson for us. You have to develop that within your mind, your body, and your spirit. And it's kind of like what I said last week. It's already in you. You just have to develop it. You have to be willing to do it. Sometimes you have to step out of the box. Sometimes you have to do some things. I'll just say, I know some people who've given some large amounts of money just because God told them to, where some people might look at that and say, are you crazy? But see, those people have learned a lesson that when God stirs me or anybody else to give, it comes back. Now, the thing that I want to caution you on is this, because, you know, when you're explaining this to people, your motivation cannot be that I'm going to get something back in return. If it is, then you cheapen God. And you make God an investment. And God's not an investment place for you, okay? You can't give something and sit back and say, I'm going to watch the mailbox. I know it's coming back. No, no. You can't be looking for anything in return. You give, and you give with no strings attached, and you give love. So you have to develop that. But everything you give, God sees it, He honors it, and He will bring it back to you. So I hope you can see, nobody may have been so too impressed with my riddle, but I was, about the positive and the negative, the subtraction and the addition of how that works. See, the credit, the debt, is a negative, but it appears to be a positive because you get what you want ahead of time. The given appears to be a negative because you're subtracting money from you, but it's a positive for what will happen in your life. So that's how it works. In closing tonight, I want you to just evaluate your attitude about debt and giving, those two things we talked about tonight, the negative and the positive. What is your attitude about it? What is it? You know, there are a lot of people that just say, I have to live by being in debt, by using the credit card. And let me clarify something right there too. I showed you my credit card. I have three. Usually I only use one. We use it till it wears out. But Kitty and I are disciplined. We pay it off the moment that it happens. I'm talking about when we were skiing the other night, we went to a restaurant, I ate dinner, I went back home and boom, put it back on the credit card. Hadn't even hit there yet. But we pay it before. So you can use credit, but you got to be disciplined to use it. Okay? We're going to talk some more about that next week, about not spending more than you actually have. So I wanted to make sure I'm clear with that. But anyway, in closing tonight, you evaluate your attitude about debt and about giving. Where are you with those two things? See, they both affect each other. I hope that tonight that you heard something that struck a chord for you. And if it did, don't ignore it. See, here's what happens a lot of times. When Ralph teaches, when Buren preaches, and when I get an opportunity, anybody else right here, we all sit there and we hear things that clicks with us. But if we're not careful, we walk out the door, we get distracted, poof, it's gone. It's gone. See, whatever you heard tonight that struck a chord with you, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Do something with it. Do something with it. You can get on the right track, and it's a simple process that we're going to talk about next week. What I want to leave you with on the positive note is that the giving, and we've already talked about it. See, giving is an extension of God. It's who that is. I like the way Ralph has put it, Buren said it, that you are God to somebody when that happens. Change your thought process, it changes your world. All right, next week we're going to do what we're going to do, continue with the money thing and get into the health and talk about relationships tomorrow, because we talked about how they intermingle. Remember what I said early on is the value is not in the dollars and cents, it's what's in your heart. That's where the value is. And that's what you just did. You shared what you were richly blessed with, but what was in your heart. And that's how it works. And I'm glad you stood up. You know, don't hesitate, because you never know what you say will be an encouraging word to somebody else. It's just like me missing those opportunities. If you feel like you need to say something, say it. Don't hold back, because it needs to be there. Anybody else? Okay, what I thought Kim was going to tell was when he came in tonight, he had sent me a text yesterday that he had found a penny on the ground. And I told him to pick it up because I heard that they will add up. So he brought it to me tonight and he gave it. This is going in my penny jar. Thank you, Kim. A penny is valuable. It is. All right, everybody good? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and our time to come together. I pray that as we leave here tonight, Lord, and tomorrow, but the things will come back to us about the lessons that you have for us about the negative side of the debt and the positive side of giving and what they do, how those things work, Father. I pray that we will continually develop the giving spirit inside of our heart, that we give the way Kitty described. It doesn't have to be money. Give of ourselves, give words of encouragement or of love, those kind of things. But that we just continually develop that spirit inside of us of giving, and we'll just allow you to work through each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.